Jordan, before we go into talking about football in 2019, I was jokingly asking you about, did you get any experiences and some advice from Jesse Palmer, the former quarterback with the Florida Gators, who went on the Bachelor series and all of that? Did you? And what was that experience like?
You know, I didn't. My process to get on the show happened like 3 days before filming started. So I didn't have much time to plan anything. But I will say, Jesse kind of had the easy route. He got to sit back and he got to pick any girl he wanted.
Good point.
I had to fight it out with 25 other dudes. So I don't know if he would have been able to give much advice. He's like, oh, yeah, I picked the one that, you know, I wanted to pick. I'm like, I was fighting tooth and nail to get a couple minutes with the Bachelorette, my fiance now.
That's right.
JoJo. So I don't know if he would be able to give me much advice in that situation.
And they made the worst mistake you can ever make. I don't care if you're dating one girl, two girls, whatever. You can't call a girl by another name. That's the ultimate mistake.
And that's what actually, someone had told me that before we started filming. So literally, as I'm sitting in the limo night one, I'm just like, don't forget her name. Don't forget your name. JoJo Jordan. JoJo Jordan. That was the thing I was worried about.
It should be easy enough.
You'd think so, and I've played in front of 100,000 fans. I get up on TV and talk football every single weekend, yet stepping out of that limo, I've never been more nervous in my entire life. Who knows why? So it all went blank. I'm lucky I remember those two things, though.
Jordan, what was it like for you playing quarterback for Vanderbilt?
You know, it was I have a lot of pride for what we did there at Vandy. You know, I was a junior college kid that was not recruited at all out of high school, didn't have a single offer. And so when I went to Vandy, I went there not because I thought we could be successful, honestly. They were 2-10 at the time.
Right.
They weren't very good. But I was like, you know what, if I can just play in the SEC, if I can prove that I can play against this competition, I have a chance to play in the NFL. And that was always my dream. And then when I got to Vandy, it was kind of a perfect storm. I had shoulder surgery my first year. I tore it in camp competing for the job. And then a new coach comes in. I'm like, I might be the odd man out. I'm a junior college guy. You know, oftentimes junior college guys are great for the coach that brought him in. But the other coach is like, he's just a JUCO guy, right?
And he's not my future.
Exactly. And I was coming off shoulder surgery. So to go from 2-10 in 2010 as a redshirt to winning 9 games for the first time in 97 years at Vandy, doing things that literally had never been done there in a very short period of time. I have a lot of pride in what we were able to do, you know, with James Franklin, myself, and a lot of those core guys, Jordan Matthews, Zach Stacy, that had never been done before. So still have a lot of pride in what we did there, and still have a lot of hope that Vandy can do that again at some point.
Now, we don't have this issue this year because all 14 head coaches have returned from last year, but when you take over a new program, you always hear that expression, well, wait till he gets his guys in there. Well, my thing is, once he takes over as head coach of any program, whoever's on that campus, on that football
gotta
roster,
be his guys,
they
right?
are his guys.
Yeah, totally. That was what was interesting about when James first came in. So we had Bobby Johnson was our head coach.
Right.
He was very, very stoic, man of little to say, a few words, but when he spoke, he meant it. So in having James come in, James was whole. I mean, it was like drinking from a fire hose. I mean, seriously, we're all looking around like, is this guy for real? Like, he's coming in here. We were just 2-10, and he's saying we're going to compete for championships. And we're like, yeah, you'll learn. You haven't been here long, huh? But slowly but surely, we started to believe in ourselves. And so if you look at those 2 years that I was there, at least, or the years of success that James had, none of those were his guys or his recruits. I mean, when we won 9 games, there wasn't a single recruit that played significant time that hadn't been there during the 2-10 season.
Right.
I mean, every main contributor was from the previous staff. So James, the best thing he did, and I think his best attribute as a coach, is maximizing talent. He maximizes what you have in place. I mean, he challenged us. He changed our bodies. He changed the way we thought, and that's why we were better. Not because we brought in a bunch of different recruits that were his guys.
Right.
He changed the culture. He actually changed it. I think that's what you have to do as a coach to be successful. It's not just about waiting until your guys come in. Because you wait in this league 2 or 3 years and you don't win, you're going to be gone.
Visiting once again with Jordan Rodgers. All right, so this year, 14 schools, 9 of them are bringing their quarterbacks. You've been in this experience before as a, you know, representing Vanderbilt. When we think about that leadership as a quarterback, when you're looking in that huddle at, you know, 10 pairs of eyes looking back at you, what do you have to do to convince them to believe in you?
Oh, I think it starts with a strong belief in yourself. And I think if you don't have that, I don't care if you're really talented or not very talented. And I was probably on the middle of the road talent, maybe towards the lower end of that. But I was extremely confident. I knew no matter what, I could make that throw. We're going to get this first down. We're going to win this game. And I believe that so wholeheartedly that that permeated the team. And I think if you look at a guy like Felipe Franks, extremely talented. I mean, he can spin the
and
rock.
And a great last name, too, by the way.
Great last name. But you know what? He has been a roller coaster of emotions. He has not been confident. He's always checking Twitter. He's always worried about what people are saying about him. That's what Dan Mullen did best. In his first year, yeah, they won 10 games. But he started to change Felipe between the ears. And it was not easy. I mean, there was points where the competition was opened. He was benched. He was playing well. He was not playing well. Dan is a quarterback, quote-unquote, guru, not because – and he can. He can teach you the X's and O's. He can tell you what to do and why you need to do it. But he creates a confidence. He creates a self-confidence in his quarterback that allows him to play better. And if you don't have that, I don't care how talented you are, you're not going to be good at this game. The best are sometimes the most confident, whether they should be or shouldn't be. It makes them the type of players they are. And if you don't have that as a quarterback, you're not gonna cut it.
You bring that up because last year, sitting down one-on-one with Benny Snell Jr., the running back from Kentucky.
He's got a little bit of confidence, huh?
Oh, just a little bit. And I have to be honest with you, in talking with him, you know, it's one thing to talk the good game, but other people have to buy into it. It's all
totally
part of the sales process, right? I bought into it, and I actually predicted after I got through visiting with him that Florida was going down in week two just because of that enthusiasm, because I know talking to somebody like that, and I know that his teammates would respond and follow that. And so perfect example of how a player, whether it's a quarterback, running back, a leader on that team, can convince everybody else. Forget about the media. They don't care what the media thinks.
Oh, yeah.
As long as you get buy-in on that team. That's why I have it down. Half of the teams in the SEC this year, I have seven teams that, depending on how things play out, could win the SEC championship this year.
I think it's wide open. But that's the X factor. I mean, look at it. Kentucky's roster, they were good. But if you put their roster up against most others in the SEC, I mean, there's a reason those guys went to Kentucky, because they didn't get offers from Alabama and Georgia and Texas A&M and all those other schools. But what was the X factor? They were confident. They played with swagger. They didn't give a you-know-what, what the media was saying, what everybody was saying about
right.
them. And they played beyond their talent. That's the X. If a coach can get that out of players, you're going to have a good football team. So I don't know if that'll happen for him this year, but that's that X factor that you see in teams, the kind of thing that you can't measure on a piece of paper, that you don't know as we're sitting here right now. We don't know.
Right.
We don't know who's going to have that. We know who has talent. We know who has experience. We don't know who has that. And that sometimes is what differentiates really good teams from great teams.
And that's one of the reasons why I think Jeremy Pruitt is a better fit for, say, Tennessee than Butch Jones was. And you go back to last year. You know, it's
certainly that's the only reason?
Well, no, there's more. There's more. But we only have just a short period
you're right,
of time.
You're right.
But you go back to last year. Here's Tennessee upsetting Auburn on the road. They beat Kentucky, and here's Kentucky with one of their three best seasons in the last 60 or 70 years. And yet they go 5-7. And so you think about this year with so many talented teams. I mean, last year, 11 of the 14 were bowl eligible, went to bowls, right? So I think this year we're talking about a lot of upsets on the football field.
You ever seen the movie Angels in the Outfield?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's a point in that movie before, I think early on, when he goes, there's a thing called talent. They don't have it. I think that's what Tennessee was dealing with. Pruitt is the right guy for the job. There was some talent. They didn't have the talent to compete week in and week out. He was able to get it out of them in certain points when they upset Auburn, you know, beating Kentucky. But they didn't have it across the board. He's starting to get that talent there. He's starting to fill the cupboards. So they are going to be successful. He's the kind of coach that maximizes talent, has a process that doesn't waver. So kids get better because they get put in the system. Here's a way we do things, and we spit out a certain result. So he's filling the cupboards with talent. They're going to start to be a lot better this year, and a lot of teams in this league, I think, because of the experience at quarterback, because there's so much depth. Every team has a quarterback that can win football games. I don't think we've said that in a really long time. And a quarterback that has proven they can win football games outside of maybe an Auburn who has got young guys competing for that job.
All right, I have Vanderbilt, Tennessee, 7-4 going into that final game in November.
Both 7-4.
Both 7-4.
Okay.
They get there different ways, but they're both 7-4. How do you see that playing out?
You know, I think Tennessee's going to get them this year. And I know I hate to say
no,
that.
No, I do too, honestly.
I hate to say that as a Vandy fan, but I think so. We'll see, though. A lot has to be proven for both these teams. Vandy's got some returners on offense, but their defense, they lost, what, their top six tacklers or something like that? I mean, they got a lot of holes to fill. That's my biggest concern is them on defense.
Jordan, wish you all the best.
Thanks a lot, man.